Some already have experienced it this day, making its first major cycle. Aren't fax machines and telephones wonderful? And our people, and I would give honor. Rick, thank you. EJ, thank you. It can flow without a blip. And it's taken 10 years of education to get you to know how to do it. And to do it within the law, openly, while you're fighting all the battles of life. But you're also going to find that you needed to know. The ones who will be in the Constitutional Law Center needed to face every confrontation in the court that they have. And it doesn't matter who wins or loses in this stupid court system you have. It isn't a win or a loss. You have already won. They are hanging on by their teeth and toenails. And they're covered with dirt to do it. And it is mandatory that man sees that integrity, honor, trust, faith, a handshake is valid. And all the rest of their silly games are going to go down. Unfortunately, they can do a lot of damage before they go down. But you might be surprised who's on your side out there. And they can have their little gray ganglions and their little manufactured monsters. But they're also going to pay for taking those souls and treating them that way. These are searching souls trying to grow up again into godness. And they are being stuck into a cycle of gray energy. And anyone who wants to question whether or not there are UFOs, of course they are. That is unidentified flying object. When you stop saying UFO flying saucers in the same breath as spacecraft from the Brotherhood, you'll be better off. And you better start listening very, very carefully to Grandma when she speaks. Russell and Grandma in about 1983 spent hours, days, weeks on my craft. And Russell forfeited his life for you. I honor that a lot more than some silly story about salvation coming from someone else that you murdered. And some of these people that have spent much time with us are just beginning to remember. And it's not an easy way. It's not an easy remembering. Because there is also great security in what is forgotten there, what is left there from out your consciousness. Because the enemy abounds and they use it against you in every way they can. And it's as well that you experience it. It is truly as well that you experience whatever those pressures are that come against you and your struggle in spite of the system to just hang in there, knowing full well that if you did not have your connection with God, you would be dead. And that includes Mr. Wayne. They've tried. They've tried. And some of you are going to realize very frequently they succeeded. You just don't remember. I don't like to talk about death and near-death experiences. There's life and near-life experiences. This is the dead zone. And we're going to try to bring back some life into the dead zone. We had the responsibility, when you first got to the point where you could annihilate the planet, of evacuating, if you will, some of these earthbound energy forms. But now you're sending them over, and if you get into a massive war, you're going to send, you think rapture? No, what you're going to do is kill off a lot of people. And those soul energies are going to go over into that astral plane in the gray form. And we're going to have to get them into some kind of security. You don't go for murdering somebody over there to sit to the right hand of God. And Rick had a very good little cute from Reggie. Clinton, you know, Billy Boy. Al Gore. And Hillary, this last week, about Thursday evening, were in a very, very bad automobile accident, for any of you who don't know. And when they got deaded, they ended up before God on his throne. And Mr. Clinton announced himself first. I am Bill Clinton, sir. I am the President of the United States. And therefore, I have very high standing. Oh, all right, Billy, how about over here to the right? Mr. Gore, I've saved trees. I've killed people, but I've saved a lot of trees. Oh, okay, over here to the left. And who are you? Well, I'm Hillary, and I want to know what you are doing in my chair.
Oh, boy.
I want to know what all of them are doing in God's chair. Because I'm going to start pushing them out.
Yes. For sure.
And we're going to need OJ. And OJ will come in through Faircon. That's for you, Gary. So, go ahead and tell us about OJ and this bunch of riffraff that are trying to destroy him. And the women. And everything moral and beautiful that you ever held. These evil beings will take everything. And they will not rest. You will rest and you will get negligent. They never do. So please, tell us who this Goldman is. Who are on this tape? Tell us about the Miss Foucault.
All right. We're going to go back to, not Bahrain, a little bit further north and east and west. We're going to go back to Israel and the black Jews. The Israeli government found a purpose for these people. They educated them in the Halacha, and they have sent a woman, a black lady, over to Chicago with a group of assassins, and she's going to have the title of ambassador from Israel to Chicago. This is a group of assassins who are going to, and they are sent there for one purpose. Excuse me. They are sent there for one purpose, to negate the power that the Farrakhan movement is bringing up. I predict that there's going to be new bombings. Perhaps this time it will be buses with people on them. And it will be black people, more of the people on Farrakhan's side, which will create tension, chaos between these two black factions and the white people in this country. And it will take the tension off of Israeli, where they will discontinue these, one way or another, the so-called terrorist acts over there. Now, shortly before, Nicole Simpson and Goldman were killed. The Mishpuka had their spies, the same as they did. I told my book how Mickey Cantor, Menachem Begin, had their spies. They used Italian, what I call lover boys. Good-looking Italians who would go out. They met, under Mickey Cohen's directions, they met Lana Turner. Had Lana Turner in a motel room. Everything that transpired in there was recorded. And, at the same time, they picked their brains, because these people deal with high-powered Hollywood officials, directors, people who are putting their money into these ventures. And then they finally got to Marilyn Monroe. The lover boy that was working with Lana Turner, we all know what happened to him. Johnny Stompanato was killed. He was killed with a butcher knife in Lana's house. Now, the next guy that was their group, all of these Italian lover boys were all friends, had their own group. They were, excuse the language, they were just plain, they weren't mafias, as they like to tell everybody, the big, mysterious, sophisticated mafia, which doesn't exist. It's a group of Italian criminals. Sure, they commit crimes and everything else. They're bookmakers out in Hollywood, and they're pimps, and they all have their girls that are working for them. They make this money. That's what they operate off. They're not big-time mafia people who sit in board directors' rooms and everything else like you see them. The ones that are doing that are the ultra-wealthy Jewish people. They're the ones that, what I call the mishpuka. They're the ones that control all these things. The Italian so-called, what they want to call mafia, works for the Jewish people. Well, they sicked Johnny Stompanato on Lana Turner and another Italian boy, Sammy Losigno, was sicked onto, I can't remember her name right now, it'll come to me, but Georgie Piscitelli was sicked onto Marilyn Monroe. And this was done by Menachem Begin and Mickey Cohen. Casper Weinberger was mixed up in it. Melvin Belli. We watched.
About 1960, when Menachem Begin was involved over here, and at this time they had some other gang members called the Phillips Brothers. And at that time, what Israel needed was weapons, all the weapons that they could get. They were getting the sophisticated type weapons with rockets and all that stuff that they're getting now. They were burglarizing National Guard armories. They burglarized the National Guard armory in Oxnard, 1959. These weapons were never recovered. My partner and I, it was out of our jurisdiction because it was on a federal property, and we gave all the information to the FBI. Two of the men that were involved with this operation of National Guard burglaries all over the country, not just Oxnard, were arrested, tried, and convicted. But they never recovered the guns, the weapons, never recovered them. The weapons went to Menachem Begin and Meir Kahane. I suppose a lot of you people remember who Meir Kahane was. He was the rabbi who started the JDL, Jewish Defense League. All of these weapons were secretly given to the Menachem Begin and Mickey Cohen, and then later on, Meir Kahane was killed. They were transferred to a man by the name of Irving Rubin. Now, the FBI has a record, criminal record on Irving Rubin that is 3 feet high. He's a murderer, assassin. He has explosives. He blows people up and kills them. All in exactly what Doris is saying, in manipulations of politics and money. Now, shortly before, Ron Goldman and Nicole Simpson were killed, these spies were going, Ron Goldman was one of them, and they were coming up with information that O.J. Simpson was connecting with Farrakhan. Now, this upset the Jews very bad because this was shortly before the election of Clinton, the Democratic Party, and if there was a split in the black vote, the Democratic Party could conceivably lose. Now, this goes back to another thing. Everybody's going to say, what's all this got to do? How's it connected and everything else? It goes back to the LAPD arrest and conviction of the officers ultimately in federal court in the Rodney King affair. Well, shortly after that trial in Sydney, where the officers were found guilty, within seconds, the riots started in Los Angeles. 1 year before these riots started, myself and another man went to Chief Darren Gates' office and a 12 or 14 page affidavit with evidence and everything else of what was going to happen if these riots. Now, these riots were part of a conspiracy, unless you are a conspiracy, there ain't no conspiracy. It's time to get two guys together and conspire to rob a liquor store. You got a conspiracy. And this is much more complicated than that. So, the conspiracy is what we call at that time that I learned was race riot and revolution. That's how they're going to create chaos in this country. And that's what the part that these people that are going over to Chicago right now to do any damage that they can. They'll all be black people. They're fighting amongst each other. And they say, how do black people, why are black people killing each other? Well, because they send out Muslims and send out black Jews. And this is what goes on. Well, some of the guns would come upon a partner of mine who happened to be Ed Patton, a sergeant in the Oxnard Police Department at that time. And I come upon evidence that some of these weapons, 50 caliber machine guns, mind you, and I know what a 50 caliber machine gun can do as regards that the Navy during World War II. They had cut some of these 50 caliber machine guns. One was mounted in the house of William P. Clark. If there's anybody here that does know who William P. Clark is, I'll tell you. He was a Democrat, a young guy that studied for the law, very wealthy man in Ventura County, and
Urban owned the Bank of A. Levy. And when the Reagan program came along, one of the partners in the law office, this is how they worked, Jerome Barrison was a Democrat, Ben Nordman was a Republican. In the same office, they went to both the parties, went to both the meetings, knew both of them knew everything that was going on. And they got William P. Clark to change his registration from Democrat to Republican, duped him into the Republican financial party and everything else. Well, William P. Clark, well, then he ultimately became a Superior Court judge in California, the Supreme Court judge in the state California court system. Then he went back with, when Reagan became president, he went back with Reagan, became National Security Director. Mind you, National Security Director of the whole United States. Here's a man with a 50 caliber machine gun stolen from the National Guard Armory, mounted in his house, and he's made statements. I've got witnesses, the lawyers in Ventura that are still right there, heard him make these statements, that when the revolution comes, and excuse the words, I'm going to use the words, we're going to kill all the niggers and Mexicans. I'm going to kill any nigger and Mexican that comes close to my house. Here's a man that ends up in the national security of the United States, knows that there's going to be revolution, riots, and everything else that they can stir up in California and then on over the country. Well, we had them in Philadelphia, had them in Florida, all over the place. A lot of people don't remember. Now, we're stirring the through what I've been doing in my book and the help of the contact in... They printed my flyer that I had for my book last week. Roy Lockwood, here's a man that's running for city council in Oxnard. Now, this is how they do it to everybody to control. We'll just start off with a lowly office of city councilman. Then in your county, you have the board of supervisors. These are the most powerful people that make up a county. And our country's made up of counties. The United States is... District of Columbia couldn't operate 5 minutes without counties and how it works into the state level. Well, anyway, Roy Lockwood was born in Oxnard, 1921. He joined the army. He spent 4 years in Europe fighting the Germans. And we all know what a lot of that was about. Doris just got through telling us, political, financial manipulation, and everything else. Anyway, he ended up in the Battle of the Bulge. He was carried off the battlefield in the Battle of the Bulge on a stretcher. That was serious problems. Now, he came back to Oxnard, and he got a job. He became the fire chief out at the Army Air Force Base, or the Air Force Base in Oxnard, with a top record, retired, and he's been running for the council. And one of his arguments when he goes before the city council is corruption, judicial corruption, financial corruption, corruption of all kinds. Well, they keep him out. They have prevented him from ever winning office. He comes within, last time he got 8,000 votes, only a few votes short. Now, Roy, this time, he went to the city council, and I hope most of you have seen the first flyer that the contact put in for me. It just showed one little page there that said, a black robe cabal, said nothing about Jewish people or anything else, nothing anti-Semitic. Yet Roy went to a meeting of the city council. He passed out copies of the this flyer that was labeled in the contact. I think my ear gets to me, it gets to my brain, and I slow down. So Dr. Moorhead, I'll have to get with you again this afternoon. And
watch him with the hot peppers.
Right, oh, no.
Hot peppers.
That one I pass. But when I look like Joan of Arc, I know what he's doing. And anyway, Roy Lockwood made copies of the contacts article, just this flyer that was in there and said the words I said, and passed them around the city council meeting. Down in Oxnard, every citizen has a right to stand up. Some places in the United States, they don't have this right no more. Stand up before the city council and say his piece. And the room is full, and it's on TV. It's a very good system. Well, Roy, at this meeting, suggested that the city council and all the people there that might be interested read my book, because it was explained judicial corruption and the bond system, how the Wall Street sets up their bond systems and everything else. Well, this created an eruption like none of you. I've got articles here that I won't be able to pass around now, but every Jewish, what they call journalist, on the Star Free Press, it's now called the Oxnard Star of David, I believe. Yeah. And all of these, and believe it or not, all of these people that write their articles, their editorials for the Star, for the Oxnard Star, happen to be Jewish. They went into an uproar. They called Roy every name that you can speak of. They even threatened him, that told everybody in their newspaper that Roy was a dangerous man. This is how short their attention span is. Here's a man that almost got himself killed in Europe, fighting for 4 years on their behalf to help them and our country and everybody else. And then they stand up and call him all anti-Semitic, whatever that means. I'm still wondering what it means. I actually called some Jewish people in synagogues on the phone, gave them a Jewish name, and said, "Would you please explain anti-Semitic to me?" And I did this numerous times, and I got almost the same answer each time. They would kind of laugh at first and say, "Well, don't worry about the definition. All we know is that when you scream anti-Semitic, it scares the Christians, it scares the hell out of them. And it works. So that's all you got to do is yell, anti-Semitic." Well, that's what they did down there. Anti-Semitic. And then this one here, I'll have it here in just 1 second. They now, Roy is a gentleman, more so than I am. He's my same age. In fact, I don't know what it portends, but last Friday the 13th, the first day of the Jewish holidays, or whatever it is, was my birthday. Friday the 13th. And today or tomorrow, I think, is the end of it. Now, here's a picture of Roy Lockwood here in his fire uniform and dressed in a suit at his own age and everything else. Here's a picture of a Jewish cartoonist with a star. Pictures, big fat man sitting there, and he's got his name on it. He's reading my book, and it's got little handles on it, and he says it's a trash can of... I thought this was a flashlight. I was looking in a little dark corner. So I hope everybody could hear me when I was doing this. And it's got, it doesn't say the name of my book on it. It says the there's a fish in the courtroom. Not the courthouse, in the courtroom, whatever that means. Now this author and this... they call themselves journalists. He actually blackmailed and threatened Mr. Lockwood that if he didn't renounce my book, that he was through in Oxnard. Here's a man who was born and raised in Oxnard, and here's a guy, God knows where he came from. What did he ever do for this country? I seem to have mislaid that. Looked like I ought. Here it is, upside down. All right, I'll give you the exact words on here for some of them. Mr. Lockwood was asked by a Star reporter about certain aspects of my book, and would he renounce my book, and Mr. Lockwood declined to renounce my book, and the journalist says, until he does, he will no longer merit being taken seriously by the citizens of Oxnard. Now, almost all of those citizens, at that time, Oxnard was 35,000 people, now it's 140. That means a lot of newcomers come in there. But a lot of the old-timers and everybody else that lived there, Roy went to kindergarten with. He went to grammar school. He went to high school. And I'm talking about Japanese, Mexican, Asiatic people. And I had the same experience when I was Roy's age. I was in the same grade, only I went to a school down in Venice, California. Venice, California was the same thing. It had Japanese gardens all around. They were gardeners. It had Mexican people there. It had Jews there. One of the little Jewish girls, Frankie Wentz, I'll tell you her name. not been for Frankie Wentz, I wouldn't have got out of high school. And in those days, it was a depression. When I went to school in the morning, I had little holes in the bottom of my soles, and I put cardboards. We used to get a friend of mine, or a friend of the family, was a gambler. Made his living as a gambler over in Las Vegas. When he came back to Los Angeles, he brought us old used decks of cards. And those cards were real tough material because they were shuffled and played with for over and over and over. We used to put those in the soles of our shoes so we wouldn't wear a hole in our socks and so that we could wash our socks out the one pair we had every night. People think they got tough things now. Well, Frankie Wentz was a real nice girl. Her father, she had a sister named Mary, her father was a Jewish man that had a jewelry store. And they were much better off than all the rest of us kids. They lived over toward Ocean Park in Santa Monica. We lived down in the lower places where the red car and the railroad tracks went through Venice at that time. And as I say, I don't recall, I got in lots of fights when I was in school, but it was all white kids. I never had an opportunity to fight with the Japanese guys or the Mexican guys or the Chinese guys. And there were some black kids that went there. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I think why I'm trying to say it is because all of this stuff, this hatred, that these papers, the TV, and everything play out, it's not us. It's being told to us every day that if we say this word, if we say that word, if we say anti-Semitic, or if we say Jew with the wrong inflection on it, we're guilty of, yes, anti-Semitism or racism or something. Now, what they are trying to do is either get Roy to renounce my book or lose the race over there. And if Roy wins that race, he is going to expose so much corruption, and this is what the contact is doing. Thank the Lord for the contact and what they've, how they've helped me and all the way through it. Because each one of these things, one of these days, as Doris just said, no truer words were spoken. This is going to break one of these days, but it's going to be done by us people. Not necessarily just white people sitting here like most of us are, but all of us in this country. Now, and right at the moment, the things that they are doing to Roy and to O.J. Simpson is all a pattern. It's a pattern that all fits in together because they are afraid. They can see their what they've built up over these years, and I'm going to say that a lot of it started just since World War II. When World War II was over, in fact, on December 7th, which was 4 years after Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, I was discharged as a gunner's mate down in San Pedro Navy Base, just outside of Los Angeles. And 2 months later, I joined the Los Angeles Police Department and went to the academy, and I graduated from there, and I went into uniform patrol in Hollywood. In University Division, which is down by the University of USC. But I'm saying that these things, and that's the time I'm going to get back, please. I'm going to go back now to Roy Lockwood and the fact that they are threatening him. And what are they threatening him with? What they're threatening him here with right here is until you renounce Gary's book, you will no longer merit being taken seriously by the citizens of Oxnard. Well, who is this guy? Who is he? To tell Roy that was born and raised there and did all the things I've already told you. Fought for him in the Battle of Bulge, one of the worst battles that was fought in Europe at that time. It was the last effort by the Germans to possibly win the war. And I have to say this, that all of these people like here, Mr. Stephen Chalkins that wrote this crazy thing, I don't know where he came from. I don't know what he's done for our country. I don't know what he's going to do anything for our country. But bear with me 1 second here. Here we go. Well, anyway, they called my book and me demented. All right. I'll go along with that. Maybe I'm demented. All right. It's very possible. We've got one man laughing over here. And I think he's a psychologist.
He's demented.
So, well, he seems to be the only one who understands when I'm... Where was I? Come on, you caused this.
Yeah, you're... He's calling you demented.
All right. See, there, I knew he... That was a test. I wanted to see if... So anyway, but way back in my police days and as a detective, we used to kind of have a saying, and we'd be talking to all kinds of people. Weird stories that they tell about narcotics deals. Well, one of the things that'd be a successful policeman or investigator, you had to have curiosity. If you weren't curious over things, nowadays I see so many of these young police officers, somebody tells them something, and they don't talk, they just go on and kiss them off. Well, you had to be able to listen to the story and kind of say, there's something here. There's something to this. And we'd say, well, if this guy is telling us the truth, if what he's saying is the truth, what's the difference whether he's demented? That's the issue, is the truth. Not this guy a nut or what, and that's what they're calling me, all kinds of things. I'm not going to go get a gun like Doris says. That would be stupid. Start a big fight. We're going to win this battle without doing that. Now,
you
please,
watch.
Please, Doris, say something.
You talk.
Well,
give her a chance.
Doris is really
I'm
having a good
to
time with
to
this.
I can't hold up.
Gary.
Yes, sir.
There's a button there under your thumb.
Yes.
Move it toward your thumb.
No, the one on the up on the side.
Oh, here?
Yeah, move it down toward the bottom.
Oh, you keep it.
Okay. And move it which way?
Down to the bottom.
Down.
Yeah,
push it down?
Yeah.
That turns it off.
There you go.
Is it off?
Yep.
It's off.
Nope. Not off yet.
You see, all of you have a problem. It's hard to even tell who Gary is talking to. And I think probably he's getting even with me because I didn't introduce him. Half the people out in the hinterlands don't know who in the world this is up here that's demented. The ear will be okay. Sometimes when you ones, and you don't realize how often this is happening to you, you may realize that you miss a few minutes here and you miss a few minutes there. You can function very well in your mechanical form and still do quite a lot of traveling. If, in fact, you make your journeys too rapidly, you will get bubbles in your ears and you'll be okay. But since we also have trouble with the Board of Equalization making visits because of friends, you know, make up some story, and go down and turn you in so that you have problems. Just the major thing is always make sure that the enemy has plenty of problems. Well, we're going to start transferring some of those problems back in kind. But until then, I'd appreciate it if you ones would get a care package together for Gary, and for you out there in the hinterlands, this is Gary Ween. Most of you have experienced his writings on the O.J. Simpson trial, and they're right on, and that annoys the adversary even more. But you see, they have no way really to get at Gary. And this becomes a real test for Lockwood. What is he going to do? It doesn't do any good to capitulate and go join these guys. And if you do, you've sold your soul. And so what are you going to gain? A bunch of, let's just say if he's over there for too much longer doing whatever it is he thinks he's going to do, he's not going to be able to help very much in the political arena, and he may need a snorkel. So we have to look at some of these things that happen along the coastline with some eye to possibilities in the not-too-distant future. There is a very interesting meeting coming up in October with Gorbachev and the whole big bunch of mischief makers. They are the New World Order, and they're going to have their meeting up there somewhere, probably at the Presidio, on your property to sell your nation to gain control of you. Well, I don't know if I were them, under the circumstances, if I'd want to be parked at the Presidio. Because I've annoyed quite a few of my brothers out beyond your gray area. And I understand that it's very difficult. Doris is talking, Dorma is receiving, and I'm trying to get a message through. So it's exactly what Gary just said. What does it matter if you've got dementia, senility, blind, deaf? Just don't be dumb. Just don't be dumb. Truth is going to out. And it's time. And they can cover it, bury it, put it in this controlled media, make you look ridiculous. It is only going to backfire on them eventually. The masses will just go with whoever, you know, makes it a little easier for them. They have bred into these lesser classes of people, and I'm not talking about hierarchical classes. They have been divided off into masses. And these are destined to be the gun fodder, to be the bloody rioters. These are the ones who carry the guns to school and can't wait to get out to shoot their gang member. All you've got to do is listen to the television. All these nice new programs, they're advertising one just this morning, and it's supposed to be funny. Now, this following little scenario is supposed to be hilarious. I think it's your stupid Seinfeld or something. They go out on a date, this man and this woman. They've had a nice evening. He's been trying to get into her pants all evening. Now, they come home. Now, this is in the advertisement. This is not something Heather comes in here to tell you. This is prime time sitcom advertising. Now, it's time. He brings her home to the door. And she says, would you like to come up for some coffee? And he says, oh no, it would keep me awake all night. And so she repeated, wouldn't you like to have just a little bit of coffee? No, it would keep me awake. So he gets back in the car with his friend, and his friend hits him, and they do all this stuff. And don't you know that to invite you in for coffee is inviting you in for sex? And he pounds on his own head, you know. And then he goes through some other thing that he remembered at supper. This is degrading to human. And yet, what do you think your kids are going to expect when you can't even now say, come on in for a cup of coffee? It's sick. You have a sick society. And the same ones have made it sick. And you've allowed it. And when we talk about color, that is a perception of a user's mind. A baby has no perception of whether or not this other child is black or green. They don't care. They don't care. They don't know, and only adults can breed this kind of hatred. There is no race better than another if you are sold beings. You are not in the image of God because you don't even know what God's color is.